summer months focusing on the Spirit and on the Word. We're going to memorize Scripture together. We're going to seek God. We're going to allow Him to do what He wants to do. An old-time pastor years ago, Bob Mumford, said, and he probably got it from some other place, but he said, if you have too much of the Spirit, you blow up. If you have too much of the Word, you dry up. But if you have both, you grow up. And so we're going to connect those. And today, I want to help you discover and maybe possibly rediscover our source of energy, our source of power. He is called the Holy Spirit. On the first Sunday of January, you may recall that we prayed six prayers. And one of them was to restore our power. And we had five other prayers along with that. I won't take time to mention them. But in that service, we felt like that was setting the direction for us as a church for the year 2005. And today, I tell you, this man has a cry in his heart for God to restore to us an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, and to see Him do what only He can do. You and I can't change ourselves. You and I can't change our height or change our hair. Well, I guess we can change our hair color. We can't stop the hair from falling out, though. But only God can do those types of things. There's a scripture that hit my heart recently, and it's in Acts chapter 19. And I want to begin there with you as we begin this series. It's about Paul going to a place called Ephesus. And Ephesus is a place in the Holy Land, and Paul wrote a book to that church. It was called the Book of Ephesians. And here's what Acts 19, 1 and 2 says. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he asked them a question. And here's the question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now listen, I was talking with someone when I was in Holland, and they said, you know, just last week I encountered someone who didn't even know Jesus Christ, had never heard about Jesus Christ. Now that seems to boggle our minds, but I believe that there are people out there who've never heard the saving, powerful message of Jesus Christ and what He can do. If that's true, how many more people have never heard of the Holy Spirit? He's not an energy, He's not a force, He is the person of God revealed in us. He's the one, the Spirit of Jesus living in us. How many people have never heard of the Holy Spirit? I could take a lot of time giving you scriptures after scripture about the power of the Holy Spirit, but let me just give you one. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, Paul says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not rest upon the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. His preaching, his speaking, his sharing was accompanied with this power of God, which is known as the Holy Spirit. Far too often I run into Christians, and far too often I see in my own life that I'm not tapping into the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. I find myself, and maybe you're like me, at times trying to do your best. I mean, I've got some standards that I believe are revealed in Scripture, and I'm trying to do a good job at living those out. I want to be right. I want to do what's right. And some of us do a better job than others. Some of us are more faithful in that than others. And when I fail, I sometimes rationalize it away. I sometimes will say, well, nobody's perfect. We all have weaknesses. God understands that. I'm trying to do my best. And listen, don't misunderstand me. God does understand that you have weaknesses. God does understand that I can't be perfect. He's not expecting perfection. But is our best really enough? I'm doing my best. I submit to you today, I don't think it is. I think that it's His best that is required and desired by the living God. The Word of God throughout the New Testament says that He, God, sent His Son Jesus to live among us. And when He died and He rose again, He ascended to the Father and He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to indwell us. Why did He do that? Because we need help. We can't live the Christian life. Some of you are pretty strong. I can be pretty strong at times in my commitment to God, but it's still not enough. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so therefore, He sends us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not optional. He's foundational in our lives. We can't live without Him. I came back with a hunger for us to experience literally experience the outpouring of the Spirit. I want us to be Spirit-born people. I want us to be Spirit-fed people, Spirit-filled people, Spirit-formed people. I'm hoping in this series, and I've been praying and contending for God, that we would do a couple of things. Number one, we'd discover the source of our strength again. Number two, that we would demonstrate through Scripture how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How to walk under the control of the Holy Spirit in order to experience the character of Jesus Christ working in our lives. I want us to discover over the next few weeks how we can know that we are Spirit-filled believers. We are in need of that. And my prayer is, oh God, would You empower us? Would You enable us? Would You indwell us in these days so that You can do what You want to do? May we be Spirit-fed, Spirit-filled, and Spirit formed. So the question is, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? We'll deal with the second part of that scripture next week, but have you heard of the Holy Spirit? He's the one who can make this happen. He's the only one who can help us get to a point where we can say, like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. So all of a sudden now, I'm not trying to live a life for God. I'm now allowing Him to live His life in me. And the old saying is, that's better felt than telt. You can't teach that stuff. That has to be revelation type stuff. But somehow, the Holy Spirit's got to help us continue to understand that it's not me doing something for Him, it is Him, me allowing Him to do something in and through me. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. I want to give you three things today that will help us do that. Three keys that will help us tap into the power of God as we set our sails to discover the source of our power. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. These three points all have to do with our willingness. If you are willing to do these three things, you become a candidate for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you will agree with me today and say, I am willing to do these three things, you are positioning yourself so that you and myself as well can receive in a new way the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me. Philippians 2:12 says this, and this is the first thing you and I must be willing to do. We must be willing to work. We must be willing to work. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, the words there, work, there's two different Greek words. When he says, how much more in my absence, work out your salvation. That's referring to your and my human choice to be involved in the process, to give the effort that is necessary to accomplish those things that God has set before us. I don't like the word work. It seems so unspiritual. And it's just kind of, God's just supposed to do it. No, you got to work. I mean, even if you go camping, isn't there a lot of work in that? I mean, you're working to have some enjoyment. There's a work out. You know, put those words together. Work out. There's an exercise program that God has for us. And it's based upon this second principle in verse 13 that says, God is at work. It's a different word than the other one. It's the word we get energy from. Now, once again, the Holy Spirit's not an energy or a force, but he is the one who brings to us the energy to do the effort that is necessary. We have some problems in our society with this concept of working out our salvation. May I list just five of them for you? Number one, I see a tendency to work without God. We try to do it on our own strength. We get the tapes, we read the books, we go to the conferences, we get the self-help books, and please understand, there's nothing wrong with any of those things that I just mentioned. I go to conferences, I listen to tapes, I read books. I bought a couple over in Holland and brought them back and read them on the plane. I get the self-help books, and I've read them. But listen, self-help books, that's exactly what they are. Self-helping self. And self can only take you to so far. And then you have to, then you reach the Red Sea. And then you look behind you and you got a slew of problems. And then what you got to do is you got to kneel before the Lord and say, I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's released to carry you into territory that you've never been before, to do things inside of you that have never been done, where Christianity now is not just conformity to a set of standards externally, but internally there's something happening. And that's the second thing that I noticed, that sometimes we have a problem with thinking that Christianity is just external. And there's nothing internal. Do you notice in this text that Christianity was never meant to stay inside? It says, work out your salvation. We are spirit, soul, and body. That's what Paul says in Thessalonians. The work that God does starts in our spirit. And then it's to affect our emotions and our mind and our will, our intellect. And then it's supposed to affect our body and then go beyond that to touch people. Christianity has never meant to be private. It is personal, but not private. You ever heard people say, oh, I don't want to talk about religion because that's a private thing. Oh, no, work out your salvation. It's not private. Very personal, very intimate, but it is supposed to come out. But we have a problem. Some people try to do it on their own strength. Second of all, some people try not to do anything and think that God's going to do it. I'm sorry, but some of our problems isn't because God's unfaithful, but because we're unfaithful. Some of my problems is because I've been disobedient. Some of my problems is I just haven't followed God's principles and his rules, and I have to take responsibility. I am a man now. You are a woman of God, a man of God. We have to say, there is a part that I play. I must work out the salvation. If I'm unwilling to do that, you'll never begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit energizing you to accomplish those things. You see, what Paul is talking to us about here is that on the one hand, we're saying, God, give me the power so that I can step. And God says, no, you step out and I'll show you the power. Every time I am obedient to the Lord, I am surprised and happily surprised to see that it really is the Holy Spirit who has empowered me. It was me who went to Holland, and it was Donna and myself who spent over 12 hours ministering over there, and some great things happened, but it wasn't because of me, it was because of him working through me. But if I hadn't gone, it never would have happened. God would have had to work through someone else. There is a working out that needs to take place. But there's another problem. We have too many part-time workers. Now, if you have a part-time job, and it's supplying for you, good. Oh, great. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with part-time jobs. But I tell you, the part-time job mentality, working out for Christ, it doesn't work. This is a full-time occupation. God's called you to 24 hours a day. Every day I will seek you. Isn't that one of the songs we sang today? Every day I'm going to seek you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you every day. Not just 4 or 5 days a week. Not just 1 day a week and 6 for myself. Every day. We got a problem with a mentality of part-time workers. And then we've got people who work hard, but they don't work smart. They work hard, but they don't work smart. And I find myself doing that a lot. And, you know, when that happens, I see a decreased empowerment from the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that, and there are probably many applications, but sometimes we can work alone instead of with people. Don't get involved in the lives of people. Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is all about people. When he fell upon in the New Testament church, it was on people, Not, yes, individual persons were receptive, but people. You know, sometimes we do a whole lot of effort, but if we would combine our forces and unite our hands, then God could do something tremendous. And the last of all, sometimes we only work when people are looking. You notice that Paul says in that text, he says, man, you were obedient when I were present, but now, please, in my absence, be obedient. Sometimes we only serve God and love God when people are looking. And everything changes when nobody's looking. That's how you define character in your life. What goes on when nobody knows? What are you doing when nobody recognizes what you're doing? God says to us today, I want to pour out my spirit, but there must be a willingness to work. Colossians 1:29 says this. Paul speaking, to this end I labor. That's I work. I'm really working hard. I'm struggling, he says, with all what? His energy, which so powerfully works. There's that word again. Works in me. That's the word. That's the word, that same word used for God at work in us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that works in us. That's in reference to the Holy Spirit who is at work with us. A willingness to work. Second thing, it's got to happen. We've got to be willing to wait. Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5 says this. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was so important to Jesus that he made it a command. He didn't say, well, if you got time, you know, set some time aside and wait. But no, you have to wait. Don't try to do spiritual stuff on your own strength. Don't try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And if you do, he says, in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to prophesy to you and just say, in a few weeks. In a few weeks. If you're willing to work, and if you're willing to wait, and then we get to the third point, if you're willing to witness, you're going to find that there's going to be a release of the Holy Spirit to your life. I'm going to prophesy that to you today, because that is going to happen to those who are willing to surrender themselves to the Lord. Willing to wait. Now, when I think about waiting, here's what I think about. Now, how many of you have waited for something? Just go back to yesterday. How many of you waited for something? What were some of the things that you waited for? Okay, you waited for a cheeseburger at some place. I waited for about 30 minutes at Rally's down there. That was six cars in front of us for lunch and had to wait there. You know what? You had to wait for a doctor visit. Yeah, she's waiting. Carrie's over here waiting for 9 months for a baby. Yeah, pardon? You waited for a show. Waited at a stoplight. I waited for my wife to get ready. We're always waiting for something. Donna says she wasn't late. I beg to differ with her, but anyway, we'll discuss that at a different time. See when he says to us in this text, wait for the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about inactivity. It's in reference to remaining in a state of expectancy. It has to do with attitude, not just, oh, for crying out loud, you know, when's this going to happen? No, it's, God, while I'm waiting, I'm involved in what you're doing. Now, if you read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 1, you'd find that they were in an upper room. And they were doing some stuff. They were adding disciples to the group. And they were praying. And they were worshiping. And they were doing the stuff that needs to be done. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit came. It wasn't inactivity, sitting back and waiting for something to happen. It was, I'm waiting like a waitress or a waiter. I'm serving God. I'm involved in His processes. And as you wait upon God, all of a sudden, things begin to break loose. When I came back from Holland on Monday, I encountered a hellish situation. I knew it was coming. I won't even get into involved, but I all hell broke loose. And my emotions were just battered on that day. We flew into San Francisco Airport at about 2:30 in the afternoon, and this happened about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I finally got to Hanford about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And then that night, I couldn't sleep and I couldn't rest. And I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, not because I'm so spiritual, because I wanted to sleep. It's probably because of just jet lag. But I tell you, I got up in the early morning from 3 o'clock and I went outside. Donna was still asleep. And I began to walk up and down the streets and I began to pray. And I looked up and I began to see a host of stars like I've never seen before. I mean, I've been up high in the high mountains, but it's never been any clearer than that night. It seemed like there were thousands and thousands, and behind them there seemed to be millions and millions. And I began to pray, and I began to understand fresh and anew that in the midst of darkness, there's still a lot of light. That's what was being prophesied today. In the midst of darkness, God hasn't changed. And I began to cry, and I read Isaiah chapter 40. If you talk about that chapter, it says, He's the one who created all the stars. He doesn't lose any of them. He holds them together by His power. And all of a sudden, I knew I was beginning to be re-energized by the Holy Spirit. And I came here in that same morning to the church by myself at 7 o'clock. And I tell you, I walked in here alone and I began to get filled with the Holy Spirit again. I'm not talking to you today about some textbook theory that I want to convey to you. I'm saying that we can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I've got to wait. If that means getting out of bed and walking for 2 hours, if it means doing whatever it means, I have to work out my salvation, because it's worth it when the Holy Spirit is poured out. What happened to me this last week will carry me for a good 3 months. I'm not going to ride that wave without continuing to pursue, because I want more fillings and more fillings, because they are available for us. Listen, we leak. We're broken. We leak. We have to be refilled. My batteries go down very, very quickly. I had a stinking digital camera that I borrowed from someone, and I don't have one myself. But if you have a digital camera, they go through batteries like you wouldn't believe. I'm telling you, $150 for the digital camera, $10,000 for the batteries that you have to use. You know, I didn't realize that, but you have to have rechargeable batteries. That's what you got to have. You got to get batteries that you use, and then you can plug in and they charge them again. We got to have a re-energizing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that happened to me this last week. I'm here to witness to you to say it's possible. It doesn't come without struggle. It doesn't come without pain. It does make you tired sometimes. It does mean that you'll have to work a little harder than you want to work. But I'm telling you, there's an energy that's available for the people of God that will carry them. And it's carried me this whole week, and it's going to carry me for time to come. I pray and say, receive the Holy Spirit. That's what I want God to say to us in this summer month. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Be born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Waiting, though, is a key. You've got to wait. You got to wait, not just wait, but you got to wait serving God. There's a song that you've heard. Donna, I can you sing that for us today? You may have heard this song before. I think I had you sing it maybe when we first came, I'm not sure. But it's called In the Waiting. And there's something that God's perfecting while we're waiting. So how many of you are waiting for something for God to do? Any of you? And I look out, I'm waiting for Linda's healing. There's things that I'm waiting for. And waiting's hard. Oh, it's hard. Sometimes you lose your way. And you remember when Moses went to the mountain? He's just up there a little too long. And the Israelites, they got tired of waiting. Well, they fell into sin. You can fall into sin when you're in an in-between time. See, those in-between times are dangerous. We're kind of in an in-between time between Jesus' first coming and His second coming. And it's the last days. It's a difficult time to live in. And you can get lost. Samuel, do you remember Saul? Just comes to me now. Do you remember him when he was king? And Samuel says, wait for me to do the sacrifice. And boy, he didn't come when he thought he should. So Saul did his own thing. Yeah, his power left him at that point, lost his authority. But see, Daniel, man, when he prayed, he had to wait for 21 days. Boy, it seems like an eternity. 21 days, a month, seems like an eternity to wait for something when you're in pain and hurting. And all of a sudden, the angel came and says, hey, listen, from the very moment you started, I began to reveal myself. Your waiting is necessary because what did you say last night? It was pretty good.
You know, there's an old saying that says to be on time, you have to be early. And that is a wonderful saying, and we should live by that. But that doesn't always work with God, because God is never late. Mm. We may say, you're late, but God says, no, you're early.
Yeah,
I'm not done with you yet. Mm. There are things that I still need to do in you. There's a process that needs to begin and be completed when I come. Mm. So this song is the cry of someone's heart who's been waiting, but yet they see what's been done in their hearts and lives as they've waited. Listen. I've tried to be strong. Is there something I've done wrong? 'Cause I've been waiting here so long. You see each tear as the months had turned to years. For some reason, you must want me here. I can see you breaking up my fallow ground. In this season of such barrenness, Lord, I have. You are in the waiting. In that moment of my life, when my hope and faith collide, while my heart's anticipating just how and when you'll move, Lord, that's when you prove that you are in the waiting too. So plant your seed till it's growing, Lord, in me. Make me what you want me to be. Unveil my eyes. If I've exchanged the truth for lies, give me faith so I can see. The work you have begun, you will complete in me. I don't have to understand the place you're keeping me. No, you are in. In that moment of my life, when my faith and hope collide, while my heart's anticipating just how and when you'll move, Lord, that's when you prove that you are in the waiting to. Give me water in the desert. You lift me up on eagle's wings. And from way up high, I can see my life from your view of things. Though I cried out for an answer, I believe that I can say, thank you, Lord, for every answer you've delayed. Moment of my life, when my faith and hope collide, while my heart's anticipating just how and when you'll move, when you prove you are in the waiting. Oh, Lord, you are in the waiting too. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord. You know, waiting is a fruit of the Spirit. It's called patience. Galatians chapter what? 5 talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, you want to be a Spirit-filled person? You know how I tell if you're Spirit-filled? It's not by your gifts. It's not by the language you speak or the mountains that you can move by faith. It's by the fruit of the Spirit. Don't follow the flashy people. Follow the faithful people. Follow the people who are willing to wait on God, who are willing to serve Him day in and day out. People who are willing to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Live their life when it's good. Live their life before Him even when it's miserable. Those are the people that you want to follow. The fruit of the Spirit. Patience is one of them. We kid about it, but I'm telling you, wherever you find a person who won't wait, and I'm not saying can't wait because we can, but whenever you find a person who won't wait, you'll find a person oftentimes who has a lordship issue, a person who has not made Him yet Lord of their lives. Whenever you find a person who is unwilling to wait, you'll find a person who will often exchange the gift of God for a whole lot of grief. I've seen young people move into intimate relationships physically, and the words, "I'm pregnant," when they come up, they're not filled with joy. It's filled with a whole lot of grief. What do we do about this? I don't want to get married. Maybe abortion or some other solution. Now, when Andrew and Carrie came over to our house and shared with us that they said we're pregnant, it was a time of joy. It was a time of celebration. You see, they waited for the right time. When you don't wait for the right time, you take things that don't belong to you. I'll tell you, if God gives you something, no one can take it away. But if you take it, I'll tell you, you better hold on to it because someone's going to take it away from you. Wait for God to give you whatever He gives you. And if He never gives it to you, then you and I didn't need it in the first place. We trust God for those things. Waiting is necessary to see the power of the Holy Spirit. My time's almost up, but let me give you the last key. And it's a willingness to witness. Acts chapter 1, 6, 7, and 8 says this. When they met together, they said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my" what? "Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end parts of the earth." Do you notice that it says, "You will be"? Not, "You should be," "You ought to be a witness," "You better be a witness," or you got the wrath of God. No, "You will be a witness." It's something that He does. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." You and I are a book for people to read. Witnessing is not what you do, it's who you are. And then out of who you are, there's a speech and there's an involvement, and all of a sudden people read and see your life and it becomes to impact them. Let me read to you just a thank you from one of the leaders from that conference. And I speak this not as a statement about who we are, but as a statement to what God wants to do through us. Their English is a little different because they speak primarily the Dutch language before English. She said, "It has been a privilege to meet you both. I hear you speak at the leadership days. You left a deep impression on me, being such transparent and humble people in God. Your willingness to serve." And let me pause. What she's referring to there is Donna and I have always taken the understanding of leadership to be servant leaders. And so when we went to this conference, we actually cleaned the tables and we helped wash the dishes and we helped set up and we did all of those types of things. And their custom is to see people come in and just be served, and they're the guest speakers, and it was different for them to see that. They gave me an honorarium of a considerable amount, and I donated that back to the church. And that's not so much a statement about me, but it's a statement to say to you that when people see you doing stuff like that, they know you're not there for money. They know you've come to serve them. That's what the world needs to see. So she goes on and says, your willingness to serve, testimony of his grace, and being people of great integrity has been a breath of fresh air to me. See, that's what witnessing is all about. It is revealing what God can do in us. It's not that we're so special. Please understand, the Israelites weren't special because God chose them because they're better than everybody else. He chose them as an example of what he could do in everybody. So when you and I are read by people, we witness to them, we share something with them, they actually see what can happen in them. And that's the hope. That's why she says it's a breath of fresh air, because maybe what happens in you can happen in me. A willingness to work, a willingness to wait, and a willingness to witness. You see, if we don't have the willingness to witness, I'm not sure we'll ever experience a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think, in my opinion, that's what happened in the renewal movement, is that we became so focused on just coming together and getting high on Jesus. Hey, listen, I don't mind coming together and getting high on Jesus. I love it. I was high on that morning, and I was up from 3 to 5. You couldn't have kept me in bed. And I mean, I've been flowing all week long. So I have nothing against getting high on Jesus, but it's not just about us coming together and feeling good and us having a great, great worship team and singing some great songs. It's about being touched by the Holy Spirit, changed, so that we walk out of here with an authority that we didn't have. So when I talk to people, I know I have a divine encounter. When I'm waiting in the store and I'm doing my waiting behind the line, maybe it's an opportunity to pray for people. Maybe I'll have an encounter with someone. Who knows what will take place? So I'm serving. Lord Jesus, just touch the people around me. Now, no one may ever know that's going on, but as I'm waiting, something's happening. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing also to witness. And if we have a heart that has eyes for outside of ourselves, it could very well be that we're setting ourselves up for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to stand and do something with me. These summer months, I'm asking the Lord to help us walk together in his presence and experience all that he wants us to experience. As we focus on the Spirit and the Word, first series, renewing your life. Second series called Got Truth. Focus on truth. Now, I had my staff do this last week, and I'm going to ask you to do it as well, or invite you to. Would you bridge the aisles and take the hand of the person beside you? We have set aside for the next week for our staff to meet on Wednesdays from 12 o'clock till 1 o'clock to fast and pray. We're setting for the next 3 months, Wednesdays aside, from 12 till 1. We're going to open the church from 11 till actually 2 for people who would want to come. But from 12 until 1, the staff's going to be praying and fasting for this summer. Not this week, but the first week of June, that'll be open to the congregation. I want to meet with the staff and we want to pray. Here's a story that I have to tell you, a story that I heard last week. There was a young girl who was lost in a cornfield. Maybe you've heard this story. And she was a short girl and a small girl, and the cornfield was very high. And they had a lot of people looking for this girl, and they couldn't find her. So someone came up with the idea of, let's hold hands and let's be like a comb and go through the grain fields like that, and maybe we'll find her that way. And they walked through the grain fields, and sure enough, they found the girl in some time. Unfortunately, the girl was dead. And a voice was heard to say, oh, that we had held hands sooner. I'm inviting you to hold hands in this summer months. Summer's a few months that's very unique. there's a vacation mentality that sets in, and it's a good thing. That's wonderful stuff. Things change. I've started to wear my Hawaiian shirts again. Things are going to change. The electric bill is going to change. It's going to go up and not down because of the air conditioning. Lots of changes. But I've asked the Lord, would you help us as a congregation to walk through these summer months together, contending for an outpouring of the Spirit? And I'm not trying to make anything happen, but just to be available for something to happen if he desires to. I'm able to go on for the next 20 years if God allows me the time, just praising and worshiping the Lord just like we've done. But I want to be available for whatever he wants. And I want his word to come alive. It says that it's powerful. It's sharp. It's able to cut into hearts of people. I'm praying for that to happen this summer. And I'm inviting you to make a commitment with me today. See, willingness. A willingness to work. A willingness to wait. A willingness to witness. Your will is the doorway that opens things up. If you decide to do something, it opens the door for God to do something. So I'm going to invite you to make those three declarations this summer. I would like to, don't do it unless you can do it from your heart this morning, but I want you to say with me, I'm willing to work. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to witness. I want us to actually say those things together with the thought of June, July, and August being these months. And I'm going to set myself to see God move. I'm not going to get up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning and hope that he's going to move again. No, that would be human endeavor that won't do anything. Don't get up at 3 o'clock and walk the streets and look up and see if there's any stars out, because it was not going to work for you. You can't make that stuff happen. That happens if you're just obedient with the Lord. If you follow his steps, you will run into him. I'm telling you, you'll run into him. Let's make that together today. I am willing to work. Say that with me. I am willing to work. I am willing to wait. I am willing to wait. I am willing to witness. I am willing to witness. Father, would you hear our words?